This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. I praise Allah Almighty and I send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble family, righteous companions, and all those that follow them with right guidance until the day of judgment. Ameen. Glory be to you, O Allah, no knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's very nice to be with you again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the brothers and sisters who are organizing these beneficial lectures, inshallah. May Allah accept it from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of our deeds during this blessed month, inshallah. Subhanallah, as occurs every year, we say to each other, it was as if Ramadan just began, and here we are at its conclusion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that there are a limited number of days. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ayyaman ma'dudat. A limited number of days, subhanallah. As much as we have fatigued ourselves in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our fasting, in our qiyam, in our dhikr, in our Quran, charity, donations, everything that we are doing, fixing ourselves, trying to work on our bad habits, trying to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid His prohibitions, everything that we're doing, and we feel that we have done what we can, inshallah, we're trying to do everything that we can, but at the same time, despite all of that, it's as if the month just flew by. Some people maybe were worried because of Corona and COVID-19. How would this be? How would this go by? Did it go slowly? Did it go quickly? Ultimately, once you get into that rhythm of fasting and the qiyam, it just goes, subhanAllah, and it passes by so quickly. But ultimately, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accept our deeds. My dear brothers and sisters, in these concluding days, in fact, for some of us, this is going to be the last day, the 29th of Ramadan. And for others, they will continue on to the 30th. As for those who this is their last day of fasting and the last day of Ramadan, I give you the glad tiding, inshallah, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As he had said in the three similar hadiths, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. الله أكبر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful and so generous and the most grateful for the little that we do. He said, whoever, the Prophet ﷺ said in this authentic hadith, that whoever fasts the month of Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, imanan, out of faith in its obligation, and in pure obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for no other purpose, and ihtisaban, seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their sins will be forgiven. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Whatever past sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. And this is Allah's mercy and generosity and gratitude. And the same goes for the one who prayed qiyam during Ramadan. مقام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا. Again, with these two conditions, إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. So take this glad tiding from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, if this is your last day of fasting, or tomorrow is going to be your last day of fasting, inshallah, you will have this abundant reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those. And whoever prays qiyam, prayed and obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipped diligently during Laylatul Qadr, whichever night it was, they will have their past sins forgiven as well, inshallah. Furthermore, the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proclaims shahra eidin la yanqusan, that there are 2 months of Eid which cannot be and will not be incomplete, Ramadan wa Dhul Hijjah. So even if you did not complete the month and your month where you live is 29 days, inshallah, it will not be incomplete in terms of the reward. And this is the magnificence and the generosity and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you only fasted the 29 days, it is not incomplete. It is your month, and this is the way it was decided based on the moon sighting, if this is what you are following in your country, and therefore it will not be incomplete, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you your reward unabated, inshallah. As for those who are completing the month, who are fasting the 30 days, then what applies here is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires for you ease. He does not desire difficulty for you. وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And so that you may complete the period. Complete the period. In other words, the whole month. And so that you will glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding you. And maybe that you will give thanks. We thank you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise you for your blessings, for your unlimited blessings upon us, for allowing us to see the conclusion of Ramadan, for allowing us to fast on the last day of Ramadan, or if there is one day left, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us alive to witness its conclusion, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, for those who do have one more day, if this is your last day, then within a few hours maybe, or maybe you have already, depending on where you are, maybe you are already about to break your last fast and you are about to send congratulations for Eid. But for others, they may be waiting. Maybe this is their last day of fasting. If this is the case, then inshallah, you have completed the month and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you. If you have one more day, and I think there are a lot of people who will be having one more day, and we are one of those countries where we will be finishing and completing the month 30 days, inshallah. If you have that one more day, my dear brother, my dear sister, please put all of your effort now in this last day and in this last night. Unfortunately, many people make the mistake when bidding farewell to Ramadan, they actually bid farewell to Ramadan on the 27th night, unfortunately. And after the 27th night, they go to sleep. Literally and figuratively. After the 27th night, it's almost as if Ramadan is over and they're already sending Eid messages and congratulations for Eid. It's not over. My dear brother, my dear sister, it's all about the conclusion. Please listen to what I'm saying very carefully. A lot of people do not pay attention to this. It is about the conclusion. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. These are judged by their conclusions, by what you do at the end. Consider it a race. Are you going to slow down at the end of the race, or are you going to give it your all at the last bit? It does not end with the night of the 27th. The Laylatul Qadr may be for those who are going to have one more night. It might be. We don't know for sure. Yes, the correct opinion is that it is most probably in the odd nights of Ramadan. But ultimately, we don't know exactly if our calculations are correct, if our estimations, if our moon sighting, sometimes there are mistakes. Then there is the whole issue of the Prophet ﷺ saying that it depends on how many nights are left, odd nights left. Either way, the correct way to do it is to put our effort, all of our effort, throughout the last 10 days of Ramadan, and this includes the last night as well. Someone might say, but the last night is an even night, it's not even an odd night, the night of the 30th. Yes, absolutely, but it is special as well. It is special as well because it is the last night, it is the concluding night. And therefore, we need to give it our all, give it our best, show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best of what we can do in this last night. It's special because of that. And it's special because it is the end, it is the conclusion of Ramadan. وَإِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ It's all about what we do in the concluding part. So please, my brothers and sisters, remember this. Give it your best now. And don't act as if Eid has already started. This is a big mistake. We need to understand that it's all about the conclusions. I remember, subhanAllah, in one of the i'tikafs, and this stayed with me. We were doing the Qiyam, and the Shaykh, may Allah bless him, was very diligent in the Qiyam all the way up until the last night, and we weren't sure. Actually, it wasn't decided yet if Ramadan was going to be 29 or 30 days. So we were wondering, and we were asking the Shaykh, are we going to do Taraweeh? Are we going to pray Qiyam? It's not clear if it's going to be 29 or 30 days. And he got somewhat flustered, and he said to us, by Allah, we will not have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see us sleeping on this last night. In other words, how can you ask this question? How can you even think that on the possibility of what is the last night of Ramadan, after all of these nights of Qiyam, where we were up most of the night, if not all of the night, and now all of a sudden we're just going to sleep through the night as if nothing happened? Absolutely not. And this was the importance and the emphasis on the conclusion, the concluding part of any deed, including Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all, inshaAllah. My brothers and sisters, in the concluding part of any deed, as we know from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and from the teachings of Islam, in the concluding parts, we always have the importance of istighfar, the importance of seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see this at the end of the prayer, this most noble and excellent deed that we perform. Afterwards, what do? We say istighfar, astaghfirullah, 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 alhamdulillah, as-salam, wa minka salam. The hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, even though some scholars of hadith may debate its authenticity, the hadith of Aisha, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught her the dua of Laylatul Qadr, the very popular dua, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anni. O Allah, you are the pardoning one, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa, you like to pardon, so pardon me, so forgive me, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anna. A dua that we repeat a lot of times during the last 10, hoping inshaAllah that this will coincide with Laylatul Qadr. This is seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always, after the good deeds that we perform, we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same goes with the end of a person's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in Surah An-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, and this is according to many scholars, and this is a correct interpretation, that this surah was presaging the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. This was the coming of the ending of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore he says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek forgiveness. وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. So always in the concluding parts of our life, of our deeds, we seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we do a lot of istighfar. At the end of the night, this is the best part of the night. At the end of the night, we do istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises al-mustaghfirina bil-ashar. Al-mustaghfirina bil-ashar. Those who seek forgiveness in al-ashar, in the time of sahar, which is the last part of the night. So always in the end, we do istighfar. We seek forgiveness. In the concluding part of Ramadan, if it is your last day or you have one more night, do a lot of istighfar. And for this reason, we also have Sadaqat al-Fitr, which is an expiation. All of it we do because we are seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One may ask, after performing all of these deeds, fasting and qiyam and charity and birr al-walidain and all of these good deeds that you do, what are you seeking forgiveness for? If inshallah you got the glad tiding of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that your sins have been forgiven, why are you still seeking forgiveness? Subhanallah, this shows you the status of a Muslim, of a believer. Al-Hasan al-Basri put it beautifully when he said that the believer, the Muslim, has combined two things: good deeds, as well as fear that those deeds may not be accepted. A sort of anxiety, will my deeds be accepted? Subhanallah. And this is the diametrical opposite of the munafiq or the disbeliever, because they combined, they brought forth the opposite. They filled the earth with sins. And furthermore, there is no feeling of regret or remorse whatsoever, but rather the opposite, a feeling of contentedness and happiness and not thinking about everything that they are doing. So it's exactly the opposite, subhanAllah, of the believer. The believer puts their best effort, and furthermore, they are fearful that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept. So then they do istighfar. They seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the concluding part of Ramadan, it was known that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz would write to his people and would exhort them to the importance of istighfar. And then he started mentioning, and this is subhanallah, the fiqh and the understanding of the pious generations. And then he wrote many of the verses that call to istighfar specifically with regards to the prophets, such as Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, when he asked for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not going to mention all of the stories, but those verses where the prophets themselves, peace be upon them all, were seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for deeds, you may call them minor sins, for acts that may warrant seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam alayhi salam did it. Nuh alayhi salam did it. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Dawood alayhi salam. So he mentioned all of these verses where the prophets were seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was exhorting people at the end of Ramadan to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said one of the important things to remember when we are bidding Ramadan farewell is Sadaqat al-Fitr. If you haven't paid it already, please do pay it. Of course, with the situation now, many people have already paid it online with their zakat. This is an expiation. So again, this is also emphasizing the importance of anxiety about whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted our deeds or not. And this is because ultimately, whatever we do, it is going to be incomplete. We may say we have fasted the whole month, we have done qiyam, I have done everything I can. Maybe someone, maybe they will have the audacity to say, You know, I've done everything I can. I cannot do anything more. I put all of my effort in this Ramadan and I cannot do anything more. Despite all of that, it is very little of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves from us in comparison to His blessings, in comparison to His mercy, in comparison to His forgiveness, in comparison to His magnificence and what He is due, what He deserves from His slave servants. In a hadith which does not rise to the level of authentic or sahih, it is narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يقولن أحدكم صمت رمضان كله ولا قمت رمضان كله. He says that none of you should say, I fasted the whole month of Ramadan, or I prayed Qiyam throughout the whole month of Ramadan. The narrator Abu Bakr says, I'm not sure if this is because of the fact that it is not good to praise oneself, because it seems that it would be a form of praising oneself by saying, I fasted and prayed Qiyam throughout the month of Ramadan. He said, I don't know if it is because of the fact that you should not praise yourself, or is it because of the incompleteness of worship no matter what we do. In other words, no matter how much effort we put, there will be incompleteness. Can anyone say, I fasted a perfect fast without doing any sins, without somehow devaluing or vitiating their fast? Can anyone say, I did a perfect qiyam? It doesn't exist, my brothers and sisters. There will always be some kind of incompleteness, and this is why no one should say, I fasted all of Ramadan, or I prayed qiyam in all of Ramadan. The pious generations, the concluding part of Ramadan, and indeed after Ramadan, would preoccupy themselves with the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their deeds, with the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever they have done during the blessed month of Ramadan. And this is the way of the pious, as we said, to be somewhat fearful or apprehensive about the fact of acceptance. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what I have done? Many mention that one of the important signs of the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of our deeds is if we are able to follow Ramadan with more good deeds, or if it just goes back to things as per norm, things as usual. And this is why it's very important to try to concentrate, and I'll get to this part, about what do we do now after Ramadan. But ultimately, the believers are always fearful and have that anxiety. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. And the verses continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, they who are apprehensive from fear of their Lord, and they who believe in the signs of their Lord, and they who do not associate anything with their Lord, and they who give what they give while their hearts are fearful, because they will be returning to their Lord, it is those who hasten to good deeds, and they are foremost in them. May Allah make us those. Those are the ones who fear the rejection of their deeds, even though on a relative scale, they have performed deeds that no one else on the earth has performed during this time and maybe at any other time as well. The deeds that the Muslims do during the month of Ramadan, the amount of worship that they perform, subhanAllah, it is really something that it's something for people to be proud of. To be proud of, again, we're saying on a relative basis. But a Muslim always looks down and self-deprecates and looks down upon what they have performed. But this is because of the level of their piety and their status. So these people who give what they give, but their hearts are fearful, They're fearful of what? They're fearful of rejection. When you read that, some people, understandably and justifiably, especially if it happened to the Sahaba, when you read this ayah, and they who give, وَالَّذِينَ يَتُونَ مَا أَتَى وَقُلُبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ, those who give what they give, but their hearts are fearful because they will be returning to their Lord. One may say, are these the ones who are sinful? Are these the ones who committed sins that or filled the earth with sins? Is this what this is talking about? Absolutely not. Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this question: O Messenger of Allah, is this ayah regarding people who steal and who perform zina and who drink alcohol and perform all of these major sins? In other words, she asked him this question. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, excuse me, was correcting it, and she said, "La," and he said, "La yabnat al-Siddiq, no, O daughter of al-Siddiq, daughter of Abu Bakr, this is for the one who prays and fasts and performs all of these good deeds, but they are fearful of rejection. They are fearful that it may not be accepted from them." This is the beauty of the saying of Al-Hasan al-Basri: the Muslim performs all of these good deeds and maybe fatigue themselves and put their best effort, and despite that, they are fearful that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not accept it from them. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, let me talk quickly about the challenge of what we can do after Ramadan. If this is what we are doing in bidding Ramadan farewell, what about after Ramadan? And this is a difficult question. And I think a lot of us who are listening now have been through tens of Ramadans. Alhamdulillah, may Allah accept, inshallah. And the challenge is usually trying to keep some kind of momentum after Ramadan. I'm not going to say the momentum, because it is impossible, practically impossible, to be throughout the year like we were in Ramadan. Ramadan is special. We are supposed to make Ramadan special. It is of the piety of hearts to magnify the rites and rituals of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, Ramadan will always be special like that. So we're not talking about continuing after Ramadan like we were in Ramadan. That is, I think, we can safely say practically impossible. But how can we try to keep some of that momentum? How can we try to do something differently? How can we try not to go back exactly like we were before Ramadan? I think this is ultimately the challenge. And I think one of the best ways to do this is to try to make some kind of resolution now as we speak. So, yes, Ramadan is special. Yes, it is blessed. Yes, time is blessed. Yes, it has a certain rhythm or routine to it that allows us to do what we do. We know for a fact on the level of ghaib that the most potent of devils are chained, and therefore it is easier to perform the deeds that we do, and it is easier to avoid the sins and the prohibitions and so on and so forth. But ultimately, there are things that we are doing that we can attribute after we attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His assistance and His blessings, but we can attribute it to the efforts that we are putting. We are making an effort, my brothers and sisters. We made the effort now to fast on a daily basis for 30 days, to wake up for the suhoor, to wake up for the qiyam, to sleep less. These are efforts that you and I are putting. We are the ones who, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have attempted to distance the distractions, the usual distractions. We have put forth a schedule that we are following. We are putting effort. We are doing better time management in Ramadan in order to be able to achieve what we are achieving. We have to admit that this is so. And this part is not impossible after Ramadan. So if you were able to read as much as you read during Ramadan, can you not read a portion of that after Ramadan? Must it go back to things as usual? Can we not try, inshallah, and I'm saying this to myself before anybody else, can we not, after Ramadan, try to read more of the Quran? So if you were reading for whatever, half an hour per day, is it so difficult to read for 15 minutes per day after Ramadan? If you were praying Qiyam, we know, of course, in the last 10 it was different. If you were praying Taraweeh during the rest of Ramadan, is it so difficult to try, inshallah, to make the effort to pray two rak'ahs of Qiyam every night? If not every night, every other night after Ramadan? Does it have to be after waking up? No. It will be better, and it is more rewarding, of course, if it is done after waking up from sleep. But ultimately, you can, anything you pray after Isha, and if you pray the Sunnah of Isha, after that, everything is called Qiyam. It is called Qiyam. So if you know for a fact you're not going to wake up, you prayed Isha, and you prayed Sunnah al-Isha, two rak'ahs, after that, pray two rak'ahs qiyam. Pray four rak'ahs qiyam, because there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that mentions that he would pray four rak'ahs qiyam. And scholars differed about whether it should be prayed two rak'ahs or four altogether. But ultimately, this is a great deed, if this is something that we can keep to, four rak'ahs of qiyam, subhanAllah, on a nightly basis. So I mean to say that there are a lot of these deeds that it just requires a little bit of more effort to do. It's about making that resolution now, right? I know for you in Kuwait, you have a few hours left. I'm not sure if you're going to have a complete month or not, but ultimately, before Ramadan is over, make that resolution. You are able to somehow or other do away with the usual distractions. And I know, my brothers and sisters, there are so many distractions nowadays. Sometimes it's almost like it's difficult to put the phone down. It's become part of our living, subhanAllah. Put it down, right? Turn off the television, turn off the internet, say, you know, the next 15 minutes, I'm just going to concentrate, I'm going to do dhikr, I'm going to do Quran. It's difficult, but this is what we need to do. Just like we put that effort in Ramadan, we can do it after Ramadan. We have to work with these circumstances. In the normal Ramadans, not in the Corona Ramadan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this the last Corona Ramadan, so to speak. But in other Ramadans, where people are coming together for the congregational prayer, the Salat in the Masjid, people usually wonder, subhanAllah, what happened, right? You had all of these people coming to the Masjid during Ramadan, even for Fajr, subhanAllah. But after that, it's like people disappeared, right? What happened to people? Is it just because Ramadan is over and the quote-unquote, the blessed time is over, and therefore everybody goes back to normal? I think more than that, it's about the circumstances. There's something about the rhythm and the routine of Ramadan, where we are fasting, and then at night we have we pray Qiyam, we read Quran, and then we get up for Suhoor. So there's something about that that just kind of fixes the schedule for us. Well, now you need to do that after Ramadan as well. You need to deal with the circumstances. You need to put that schedule for yourself. This is talked about in terms of time management and for so many other things, for work, maybe even for staying physically active and fit, people talk about time management, putting a schedule, following something religiously. Can we not do that with regards to obedience, with regards to all of the worship that we did in Ramadan? Can we not try to do part of that as well outside of Ramadan? It's about dealing with those circumstances. It's about a change in lifestyle, in timings, sleep schedules, all of these things. When we deal with that properly, believe me, my brothers and sisters, you'll be surprised what you can do. Because this is part of what allowed us to do what we did and what we achieved in Ramadan. Not only the supernatural blessings and the chaining of the shayateen and things of the ghaib. It's not only that. It's also partly things that we are doing, things, tangible things that we can do, inshallah, that will help us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who strive for us, for our sake, we will surely guide them to our ways. And indeed Allah is with the doers of good. So it's all about that striving. Jihad al-nafs. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them. Whenever we strive, whenever we make that little bit of effort, even if it's a little bit of effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will help you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. But it's about making that effort and doing it sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah azza wa jal to accept from us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make this our last Ramadan. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He keep us alive to witness many more Ramadans, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who were successful and won His forgiveness and the protection from hellfire. Again, I reiterate, please, my brothers and sisters, if you still have one more day, give it your best. This is the time to really show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how much we can do and how much we can worship and how much we can repent to Him and ask Him for forgiveness. May Allah accept from us all. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allahu khayran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair, Shaykh, for this beautiful reminder. And sharing with us the glad tidings from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you shared that for those who are able to complete their fast for the full month of Ramadan with full sincerity in ibadah and with the best of their efforts. Jazakallah khair, that was absolutely wonderful and very timely reminder. With this, we're going to open our regular format of Q&A session. We have few questions here. The first question is that what to recite after each takbir during each salah as per the sunnah?
After each takbir?
Yeah, after each takbir during each salah as per the sunnah.
There's a difference of opinion on that. Some scholars are of the view that you can say something like Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. But it seems that the correct opinion is that there is no dhikr. You don't say anything. So you just say Allahu Akbar, and then you do the rest of the takbirat. 7 in the first rak'ah and 5 in the second. Are the questions there, brother? Can I see them?
Yeah, exactly. The questions are there in the Q&A box. Yeah, you can see the questions there. Do you want me to continue read the questions for you?
Okay, why not?
Yeah, okay. So the next question is it permissible to read Quran such as 30 people in different places read 30 juz as a form of collective ibadah? Will each one of them get the reward of completing the Quran? What is your advice on this?
I mean, some people do that, subhanAllah, where each person reads a juz just to finish the Quran. Wallahu a'lam, they won't get the reward of a whole khatmah. They'll be rewarded for reading Quran, but it's just a way of trying to finish the whole Quran, maybe as a group, and then each person reads a juz. Some people do that, but some scholars consider it that it is not in line with the Sunnah. This is not something that the Prophet and the Sahaba did. But ultimately, what's important to remember is that if someone does do that, they should not consider that they have completed the Quran. If you read that specific juz'a, read the other juz'as as well. The khatma is when you perform it yourself. If some people are doing it just for the sake of having the whole Quran read, not getting the reward of a whole khatma, but rather just having the whole Quran read between them, okay, each person reading a juz'. It's, again, like I said, it's not really something that may be in line with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if some people do it just with that intention, not anything else, not that it is a whole khatma or considering that they got the reward of a whole khatma, no, that's a different issue.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. The next question is about a parent. He's asking, he's asking while explaining the meaning of Quran verses to my kids, is it okay to skip topics which is not relevant to them at the age of 9?
Of course, absolutely. It's not, the question is it okay? You absolutely should skip some topics that may be irrelevant, some topics that might be difficult to understand, some issues that are simply not suitable for children of their age. The Prophet ﷺ said this not only about children but adults. He said, "Hadithu an-nas bima ya'rifun, atuhibbuna an yukadhdhaba Allah wa rasuluh." He said, "Speak to people about things that they know, regarding things that they know." And then he said, "Atuhibbuna an yukadhdhaba Allah wa rasuluh? Would you like it if Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam were disbelieved in?" The first thing someone might say, if this is the first time they hear this hadith, is what's the relation, what's the connection? Speaking to people about things that they don't necessarily know or understand, and then Allah and His Messenger being disbelieved in. Well, when you speak at a certain level, way above the level of the person listening, and they don't quite understand what you're saying, and they may find it somewhat unconceivable, especially for, let's say, some of the adults, if it is something that is totally beyond their level, they might not quite understand what you're saying, and they might say, no, that doesn't make sense. And they might say, no, that cannot be what Allah says or the Messenger says. So they are disbelieving something that Allah and His Messenger said. So it's very important to speak to people at their level, to be cognizant of people's level. Even adults, brothers and sisters, even adults, if they are just, you know, very early on in their journey to Islamic knowledge, there are things that they may not understand. A bachelor is different than a master's, different than a PhD. So especially with the children, yes, please be smart, be cognizant of their level. Unless they're asking a very deep question, you can reply. But yeah, absolutely, be very careful. So once again, it's not about, is it okay? You must be careful about how you explain and what topics are relevant and important. Yes, absolutely.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. The next question, because in the lecture you mentioned about doing ibadah and the actions in the last day of Ramadan. Now, this question is related to the night before Eid. So, what prayers can be made on the night before Eid?
Same. Again, what we're talking about is the night before Eid, not the night of Eid. Notice, there's a whole difference of opinion about what to do in the night of Eid, actually, meaning at the end of Ramadan. But now we're talking about, for those who are going to fast the 30th of Ramadan, they still have one more night left, the night of the 30th. So it's not about special, it's about making it special. It's the same thing you were doing in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, if you were indeed doing what you feel should be done during the last 10 nights of Ramadan in terms of being up at night. The Prophet ﷺ slept very little, if at all, during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So if that's what you were doing throughout, do exactly the same on the 30th and do more if you can. This is the idea. It's not about something special because it is the last night. It's just that you're trying to do more because it is the concluding night, and you're doing a lot of istighfar as well, because this is usually what is associated with the conclusions of deeds or times of worship and so on.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. The next question is about the qiyam, the salah, the qiyam salah, like we normally do in the last 10 nights in Ramadan. So the question is, can we do qiyam salah in congregation after Ramadan, similar to how we do during the last 10 days of Ramadan?
This is something that a lot of maybe mainly brothers would like to do in order to help each other in doing the qiyam. Scholars slightly differed about this issue. The summary of this debate would be to say that if it is something where it's not necessarily something that is done, let's say, on a weekly basis, it's not done necessarily on a regular basis, but, you know, as a group of brothers, we say to each other, okay, what do you say next week, inshallah, we'll get together and we will pray qiyam. Praying qiyam in jama'ah per se is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But some of the debate occurred about, well, if it is something that is regular, where they are coming together to do qiyam or to do itikaf in the masjid or something of that nature. If they are doing it because they know for a fact that if they are left on their own, they will not pray qiyam at home, they will not have the same energy, they will not be able to pray as long as they would as if they get together in somebody's house or in the masjid, inshallah, when the masjids do open up. If that is the case, inshallah, it is okay, because it is, in general, it comes under the general verse in the Quran, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. So they are coming together in order to perform this most excellent deed of qiyam, and without which they know they wouldn't pray qiyam. Now, if you are the type, if you are performing qiyam on your own, if alhamdulillah you have that strength, that ambition, and you are doing something like this, then praying at home on your own would be better than getting together and praying in the jama'ah. Here we're not talking about the reward of jama'ah, as we are talking about the reward of jama'ah in fard. No, this is different. But here, the reason they're doing it in congregation is to help each other, to strengthen each other, because otherwise maybe they wouldn't. So if that is the case, if that's why they're doing it, inshallah, it is a good deed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will accept it from them. But it doesn't have to be on a regular basis. It doesn't have to be like, okay, on a weekly basis or on a monthly basis or something like that. It's where, you know, they come together, they decide, okay, let's get together and break the yam because we want to remember and we'd like to do something of what we used to do during the nights of Ramadan. I hope that answers the question.
No, JazakAllah Khair Sheikh, I think that was wonderfully answered and I think it clarifies the question. The next question is about if we do any good deed, will that be multiplied during the month of Ramadan? Now, this, I think this has a connotation that because people understand that if we are doing a charity on this night, and so it is going to multiply the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that it will be multiplied for all your deeds for 1,000 months and like that. So I guess this is what this question is referring to.
If it is in reference to Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months, so it is better than 30,000 nights. So everything is multiplied, subhanAllah, by 30,000. So yes, deeds performed on this night are multiplied that way, and Allah's mercy and bounty is so great. So if someone wants to perform a certain deed, yeah, some people maybe they'd like to give their zakah or make the intention to give the zakah during those nights, or give a charity during those nights, absolutely. This is the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if they choose to do so during that time, that's up to them. Doesn't mean that you have to. It's, you don't have to. Zakat, let's say, you can do, you can plan any time. And sometimes zakat becomes obligatory in times outside of Ramadan, right? Depending on how you have planned it and depending on how your wealth is distributed and what money is coming to you and so on and so forth. But if you are choosing a certain time to pay your zakat, let's say, yes, you can choose that to be Ramadan, and many people do. If it is just a basic charity and you chose to give that charity during the last 10 nights, this is of the good deeds which are highly encouraged in Ramadan and during the last 10 as well. Absolutely. Allahu Akbar.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. The next question is about the Eid Salah, how to pray that. I mean, it says that, which is the correct opinion to pray Eid Salah? Is it 7 plus 5 or is it 6 plus 5?
7 plus 5 is the most popular. Keep in mind, there's quite a difference of opinion in the madahib about how to do that. You will hear other numbers as well. But the most popular opinion, and I think one that is followed in large swaths of the Muslim world, is 7 takbirat in the first one, other than takbirat al-ihram, and 5 in the second, other than the transitional takbira. Wallahu a'lam.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. The next question is about zakatul fitr. Is it okay to pay the zakatul fitr to the non-Muslim? Because here in Kuwait,
zakatul fitr is like zakat, and zakat can only be paid to a Muslim. Can only be paid to a Muslim. Yes. And again, if this is, I think a lot of people may have done it already. Some people do it quite early, and there is an opinion in the Shafi'i madhab, it is fine to pay it very early. Even though the best thing is to keep it to the last 2 days, but now, with everything going on and with the difficulty and people not being able to go out and stuff, some people, they have already paid it, and that's perfectly fine. But yeah, no, it should be paid to a Muslim just like zakat. Charities, regular charities, that's what can be given to anyone. But zakat can only go to a Muslim. Allahu Akbar.
JazakAllah khair. The next question is Salatul Tasbih, is that recommended and authentic?
Salatul Tasabih is, there's a hadith about Salatul Tasabih. There is some debate between scholars of hadith about its authenticity. However, most have said that it is weak And some have gone as far as saying it is mawdu', that it is fabricated as well. Okay. So is it authentic? No, it's not authentic. This is quite clear and unequivocal. And therefore, it's not something that one should be thinking about doing. Some scholars who said that it didn't go as far as saying that it is fabricated, saying that it is weak, said that if one does it once in their life, you know, it is okay or something like that. But it's not something that one should be doing all the time. Definitely not. Now, so that's the easier question, actually. The easier question is it authentic? No, it's not. Allahu a'lam. But some scholars did accept it based on the fact that they deemed it a weak hadith and not a fabricated one, and that we can, that in terms of weak hadith, that weak hadith is accepted when dealing with something called fada'il a'mal, good deeds. So in that respect, they accepted it. So you will find in some madahib and some opinions of scholars that they deem it okay. So is it authentic to say that it's as if it's a sunnah and something that everyone should be learning in order to perform? No. So that's the easier question. The harder question is, and this is where you will get more debate between scholars, is should we criticize someone who is doing it? Should we stop someone who does performing it from performing it? This is the more difficult question, all right? And this is where some scholars might say, even those who deem the hadith weak or fabricated, they may say that, look, if they are following this imam, this madhab, this popular scholar, whose ijtihad is acceptable, then he is following their opinion and it is acceptable. And they might put it in the same category as other differences of opinion, okay? Where it is not right for me to criticize somebody else if they are following a fairly acceptable opinion for a certain scholar or a madhab or so on. In that case, if it is an acceptable difference of opinion, then we might say that this is okay. Does it mean that, you know, well, everything is a difference of opinion and therefore no, you cannot tell anyone, no, this is not according to the sunnah or this and that? No, there are some things which are absolutely clear. This is a bid'ah, this is what you're supposed to do when according to the sunnah. Is there a difference of opinion? Not really. There's a very, very small minority, you know, who said, or maybe one scholar who gave a slightly divergent opinion or something like that. But some scholars may deem this difference of opinion about Salat al-Tasbih as one that does would allow some people to follow that opinion. So can you criticize or not? This is a more difficult question. You might say, if this is something that they do quite often, that, you know, brother, sister, this is not authentic, this is not in line with the sunnah of the Prophet, you know, you did it a few times, you did it once, you know, that's fine, you took that opinion, but doing it all the time, yeah, that might be something that would deserve some kind of advice or criticism.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We are over time now. I will just take one last question and then we will conclude, inshallah. The last question is, can Zakatul Fitr for an entire family comprising of many family members be given to a single poor and needy individual?
Zakat al-Fitr can be given to a single individual, of course, or it can be distributed. But it's good to distribute that wealth. I mean, it's permissible, but it's good to distribute that wealth. Yeah, of course. Especially, I'm not sure how it's being done altogether, collectively like that. the whole family, I understood from the question, several families or like an extended family or something. Otherwise, if it's just a family, it's just a person and everyone that that depends on them for livelihood, that's usually not a very big amount. But are you talking about something more than that, like an extended family? Did I understand the question correctly?
Yes, I mean, if there are many family members in the family, and if they combine their zakatul fitr, and if they're like...
Well, many family members, okay, so maybe...
Extended, yes.
And 5 or 6 children or something, that's perfectly fine. And right. If, it can be given to one person, and if they choose to distribute it, they can as well.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I think we will conclude now. I must say that it is always a pleasure to have you with us at ICK, where we always benefit from your thoughts and lectures. I will ask you for your concluding remarks, I must say that this lockdown situation, as you also already mentioned about the Corona or Ramadan this time, I mean, this is a lifetime opportunity for us as well, because it's a time of introspection. And time which will enable us to understand how far we gain from this Ramadan and to what extent the changes that we underwent by adopting, you know, this strenuous pattern of living, not just by taming hunger. So with this, Sheikh, if you want to just concluding remarks, and then we will end, inshallah.
It's just that, like I said, the Muslim always makes good of any situation that comes to them. So, as in the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, everything is good for the believer, subhanAllah. And this is specific and only for the believer, because they take anything that comes their way in the proper, they deal with it properly, and therefore it becomes good for them, whether that is prosperity or adversity. So it is a time of introspection, it is a little bit different. It's a time of remembering the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realizing how much we had even when we were complaining, subhanAllah. Now we miss the i'tikafs and the taraweeh and the masajid and getting together with people, subhanAllah. It just it goes a long way to remind us of the inordinate blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Then we were still complaining, and we were still always seeing the grass being greener on the other side. This is always the situation. Now it's a little bit different, and we think to ourselves, if only we can have Ramadan as we did before. But I think at the same time, for many people, this was, I think it was maybe a difficult Ramadan. It would be nice to see and get people's opinions. I think it might have been a difficult Ramadan for many because it just didn't have the same spirit. It didn't have the same taste, where you go to the masjid, where you pray the taraweeh, the jama'ah, the qiyam in jama'ah, the i'tikaf in the masjid. All of that, I think, made this Ramadan maybe a little bit difficult. That's why I said, and inshallah, it will be the last Corona Ramadan. Definitely the masajid come alive, subhanAllah, during the month of Ramadan. So, but ultimately, as you said, the Muslim takes every situation and tries to make the best of a bad situation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and to accept our patience during these difficult times as well, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum.